Welcome to the Maintenance Mavericks podcast, where we talk about trends in maintenance, reliability, asset operations, and current topics that are pressing for our industry. My name is Ryan. I'm the CEO and founder of Upkeep. We are an asset operations management software solution that services over 3,000 customers all across the globe. For today's guest, I'm super excited to welcome back our very own Ramesh Gulati.
Thank you.
Ramesh is the reliability Sherpa and is one of our recurring guests here on the show that comes on every single month to talk about, again, you know, current topics, current trends that are, you know, impacting and affecting our industry. It's always a blast having you on the show, Ramesh. How are you doing? What's new?
I'm doing great, Ryan. At this stage of my life, with God's grace and blessing from you guys, I'm still kicking, clicking. It means my heart is working. You know, my passion to share my knowledge, talking to you and other people will get me going. I think that's my secret. So again, thanks for inviting me. Keep inviting me. And this platform gives me opportunity to talk to my professional friends in the industry. That's great.
All right. It sounds like you got happiness, you got health. And that all leads to amazing.
Well, that's another challenge I got, is really balancing work life, a little bit what I do, the family life, and the health. Yeah. And it's kind of balancing act. So, you know, it's a challenge, but I think I'm doing okay. You know.
All right. Well, again, Ramesh, thank you so much for coming back on our show just to talk about current trends. Something that is, you know, very, very important to me, and I think to a lot of people in our industry, and how it's really the supply chain. We've talked about it a few times, but for today's discussion, I would love to double click into, you know, semiconductors and, you know, the chip shortage here in the States. So maybe I'll layer this entire conversation with a little bit of background, a little bit of context, and then we could jump in. I was going through, you know, news articles. Obviously, more recently, I read that Congress is getting pressed to pass legislation to provide up to roughly about like $52 billion to the American semiconductor plant industry. So the entire premise behind this legislation is essentially like, you know, we've, because of COVID, because of some of the big disruptions in the supply chain, we've run a huge, huge shortage of semiconductors, which are critical to everything that we essentially flip on and off in terms of electronics. So what's going on is Congress is trying to push this legislation, have more semiconductor plants be manufactured here than overseas in Asia and China to really reduce the reliance on other countries and reduce the reliance on the global potential issues across the world so that we have our own, you know, ability to support ourselves here in the States. So maybe I'm going to ask a very broad question, Ramesh. What do you think?
Well, I think, again, let's talk about why chip, okay? And then we'll talk about a little bit of politics, what's going on. Chip has become a necessity for us, whether you are family life or at work. Every machine or tools or whatever has a chip in it. Anytime we are making on, off, chip is there. A chip, what has is a solid state, has really improved, has reduced our moving parts. So we're trying to reduce moving parts, which would be the solid state, and those help all the stops, switches, and all kind of things. So we need chips everywhere, you know. Now, what has happened is our process improvement effort last 10, 15, 20 years or so, we have gone from, we used to keep a lot of inventory in our system. To reduce our cost of inventory, which is money. And we went to our input work process, we went to just-in-time type, where we are getting materials, whatever our materials are coming in same day, same shift, same day, or we are keeping 5 days, 7 days, 20 days max inventory. Before we used to keep 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months even, you know. But that's, so we have made a lot of improvement there. But we forgot, we are outsourcing for cheapest cost wherever we can buy. Yeah. But then we forgot about, again, COVID. We didn't know COVID is going to come. It happened. We have to learn from there. Disruption with other reasons. Russia-Ukraine war is creating another, you know, either issue in it, you know, somewhere. So all these things happening is our, we have to relook our inventory management system, whatever. That's another topic. But what has happened is, yes, U.S. government is trying to look what we can do. And again, when we are in democratic society, which we are, it's not easy to get funding and do make some decisions. It takes time, you know. And that's the way process is. People are different. They look different way. So, yes, our Congress passed a bill almost a year ago, went to Senate. They have been sitting on it. Now they realize, hey, they cannot delay anymore. So they are waiting. I just saw that a couple of days ago. They're going to move that. And I think they made some agreement. Hopefully, in next few weeks, they'll come up and they will pass the bill and there will be some funding available. However, each state is, states are not sitting. They are talking to these, like Intel has putting a $20 billion facility in Ohio, mega factory they're building. Yeah. And there are some other Micron or some others are working Arizona. They're putting factories over there. So I think industry is working. They are not just sitting there. They're talking and states are trying to, you know, capitalize on this opportunity. Hopefully, Senate and Congress will give us some more money. And also, hey, let's be honest. There are other countries like Japan and China and Taiwan and, you know, South Korea. They are working also. They're trying to put new factories there wherever they can put the supply to get the you know, get the more chips made. And it's going to be a challenging for us to do something. And we have to look at our inventory management system. Hey, just in time is great, but we have to now account with what we have learned from, you know, that's why another thing happened is with the COVID, when that hit, hey, I mean, manufacturers thought there won't be anybody buying something, but our economy didn't went that much down. But they canceled the orders. So what happened when they canceled the order, the supplier redistribute somebody else. Now we cannot get the power. Now COVID, again, this Ukraine war created another problem. So this is a multiple problem with the. So only thing I can say is, hey, let's make a lessons learned from this. A disruption is going to happen.
Yeah.
What we can do? You know, this is, as I was thinking this a little bit earlier, something came to mind. We have to think, we have to have a crystal ball. You know, when I was working at an Air Force facility, research facility, we had a few engineers. Their job was have a crystal ball. What's going to come 20 years, 30 years from now? So they can think about, hey, 30 years from now, plane will be flying this way or a rocket will be going that way. What kind of a facility we need to test those kind of things. What you see, like we had to come up a facility. They thought about something back in 60s.
Yeah.
They got the funding from government, took them 8 or 10 years to get the funding. 70s got built, or it got designed and installed. 80s, they were testing it, really made use of in 90s. You know, nowadays, when you fly, you know, earlier, our airplane had 4 engines. Now they have 2 engines. They have more capacity. But those are big engines, got tested in that facility, which were taught in 1960s and 70s. They used in, you know, it took 20 years, 30 years to build those kind of things. So point is, we have to start thinking crystal ball. Hey, what's going to happen? What kind of disruptions are going to come and make our life hell? So that's what we have to think in the future.
So maybe 2 points around that. Well, maybe I'll start with the first one. So I feel like we have the tendency to go through these ebbs and flows where something catastrophic happens, supply chain gets disrupted, we invest a bunch of money, we build factories, we say, like, you know, let's put more reliance on us. We invest, we build. A couple years later, we kind of forget about it. It goes back to cost reduction. We outsource. And we actually saw a lot of this. I mean, I'm sure there are many examples that there are, but the one that comes up is like American, you know, car manufacturing.
Yeah.
Is kind of one of these that rings a bell, where we invest a lot and then we kind of forget about like how important it is to have our own manufacturing. We go to cheaper cost materials, labor, and then we realize, oh shoot, actually that was important. Like, what is going to prevent us from just going through this ebbs and flows and ups and downs so that we're not like, you know, taking two steps forward, two steps back? Or
I think as we do, we are maintenance reliability professionals. We do root cause analysis. Why we don't do a root analysis on these kind of things? You know, hey, this disruption going to happen. Let's look in the future. You know, RCA for this kind of things. Let's do those. We don't do that.
I was talking to someone else about this exact thing. And the idea here is like running root cause risk assessment on the supply chain itself.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I mean, we have to think about, as I said, we have to think future, what kind of these interruptions and disruption can come in, you know, like Ukraine war. We never expected that. COVID, we never expected that. I mean, there could be something natural disaster coming. We have to think about those things and put some numbers on it. Hey, gasoline shortage is here too. I mean, it's chip shortage, gasoline shortage, all these things are coming same time. But so we have to think, hey, what could happen, and then take some corrective action. You know, that's what we have to think here.
So how does all of this impact our industry, maintenance reliability? Is now the time to get into this space? Is now the time to, you know, get into maintenance reliability, really accelerate your career, knowing that the government is about to pump, you know, enormous sums of money across the infrastructure bill, you know, trying to bring back American manufacturing? Is this the time? What do you think?
Well, it's the time. Hey, let's do it. But let's think, you know, what's going to happen. And when we are designing our equipment, our infrastructure, let's make sure it lasts. You know, it can, like infrastructure, we have to think, hey, now it's a new one. We have to think of earthquake, other disasters, how that's going to impact. Let's make sure also our energy, how we can build those kind of a solar energy or some of those kind of things in our system so we get value there. So we have to look sustainability. So I think we not just replace this with the old one. No, we have to think, hey, how we can help the sustainability issue also. So I think we need to start thinking broader sense. Yes, we got opportunity. We cannot go back, hey, we didn't do it. We have to think, hey, yes, whatever happened is happened. Let's look at the future. But hey, we're going to be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. What we have to do? And we are, again, we have a very, very innovative, smarter people in our country. And we can do, I mean, we have to see these opportunities. Like Toyota's guy said, hey, every problem is an opportunity. You know, yeah. So that's what we have to think. Hey, yes, the chip. It's not easy to, I mean, chip manufacturing is not easy. It's very complicated. In fact, one time we were talking to those guys, chip manufacturer, I was in one of the meetings. It's a very complex system. And you have to have a really, clean room and all kind of things. They use all kind of chemicals in it to clean up the systems. So it's a lot of stuff there which we have to take care of. It's not easy. But, hey, we have very, very smart people. They can do it.
I think so, too. And I mean, I to your point, like, every you brought up a quote, every problem, you know, lays an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if I were to make a prediction, like, you know, this is $52 billion for the chips, bringing like chip semiconductor manufacturing back to the States. Like, that's a lot of money. But, you know, we're also talking about like a, you know, $1 to $2 trillion infrastructure bill, which is, you know, I think hard to really fathom like how much money that is. But I think it's pretty indisputable that trillions of dollars being pumped into this industry is quite like a quite a lot of money that will have an impact. And my kind of belief here, Ramesh, is that it will have a big impact on our industry, better support, you know, the maintenance, reliability, people who work in our space. And I think it's going to really impact it for positive reasons.
Sure. Over the next few years. Like infrastructure, we had never thought some of our infrastructure, which really we had to look our water pipeline underground. They are, I mean, 60% good water get lost because our pipelines are not working. They are 60, 70, 80, 100 years old. We have replaced those. Our bridges, you know, that's, again, those are bad shape. Our airports and rail structure, all kind of things need some money because we have not done it. I mean, this is that money is needed. If you look if this American Civil Engineering Society's rating on our infrastructure is a D rating they have given. It's such a bad shape. And they think it's a lot more money is needed, just not $1 trillion. You know, it's a lot more needed. And I think it's not just us, it's the whole world. If you look Australia, UK, Europe, all are working. In fact, in my mind, some of those guys are working harder than us. They already started because I'm talking to some of those guys because I worked with this ISO, 9,000 my people I worked with in Australia. They are far ahead. They have a ISO regulatory requirement to get the system certified, ISO. So they are working much harder and they are making improvement their systems at much faster rate than us.
All right, we got lots of work to do.
That's right. Lots of work.
All right. Well, I'm excited about our future, Ramesh. I'm excited about, you know, some of the new you know, investments that are being made into our economy and, you know, ultimately our industry too. I'm excited to see what kind of changes that will lead to you know, better manufacturing back here in the stateside. Really appreciate you sharing all of your insights around, you know, this topic, Ramesh. Maybe the last question, just to wrap things up, you know, what's the biggest takeaway that you hope all of our listeners are going to learn from today's discussion?
Well, again, I think we do a good, we understand FMEA, failure mode and effect analysis. I think we have to start thinking about how we can apply those kind of tools to these problems. It means disruptions, how system can fail, how our supply chain can system can fail, you know, what kind of things we can do. So some of the basic tools which we know, we have to start applying in a different way to find out what we can do to make improvements, where it can fail, how what we can do to mitigate those, those kind of things.
All right. So running FMEA is not just on, you know, equipment, assets, but also process too. Right?
Process too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Ramesh, it was great chatting with you. Can you share with all of our listeners the different ways that they can connect with you, follow you on your journey?
Well, they can call me or, I mean, email me ramesh.gulati@reliabilityx.com or ramesh.gulati@hotmail.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So they can contact me and I'll be happy to chat everyone and whosoever calls me and needs some help.
I can absolutely testify, Ramesh. You've been so generous with your time and just helping out, supporting, you know, the industry, everyone who's part of it. You're incredibly generous with your time and sharing all of your expertise and knowledge. So I just want to say thank you one more time.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ramesh. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into today's episode of the Maintenance Mavericks podcast. Again, my name is Ryan. I'm the CEO and founder of Upkeep. You can connect with me. I'm very, very active on LinkedIn, so just come find me, Ryan Chan. You can also shoot me an email, ryan@upkeep.com. Pretty simple, pretty easy. Shoot me an email. I respond. You know, I read pretty much every single email, and I try to respond to as many emails that I can. So shoot me or Ramesh a question, what you thought of today's episode, how we can improve. We're always looking for that. And I really appreciate it and hope everyone enjoyed today's episode. So look forward to connecting with all of you soon. Thank you again, Ramesh.
Thank you, Ryan, and everyone.